Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Pedro Gomez is going to join us in about 15 minutes on this St. Louis Cardinals hacking, cheating, cyber scandal against the Houston Astros, our weekly segment with Pedro. Also, Pedro knows Pat Murphy very well, now the new manager of the San Diego Padres, and the Padres will be here in the Valley this weekend against the Diamondbacks, and I'm sure Pedro has some stories around Pat Murphy. And there's probably some other. I want to get into the All-Star voting thing. What a joke Kansas City's turned it into. They got like a 205 shortstop that fans have voted for, and you just have to take it away from fans. You just have to at some point. This has turned the game into a complete sham. Jerry Colangelo is going to join us today. Jerry Colangelo on the show at 10:35. It's time to ask Jerry about the Coyotes. It's time to ask Jerry about the NBA Finals. It is time to ask Jerry about buildings in the Valley, about U.S. Airway Place, USA Place, I should say. USA Place, the Olympic training facility. There is a lot to get to with Jerry Colangelo, a lot of business, I think, in the Valley, and that's what I'm all about. We're Arizona-centric, so Jerry Colangelo will join me at about 10:35. Last night I watched some of the Warriors-Cavaliers to begin with. I'm in this habit, guys, where because it's really hot, it's fine to go out and walk and shed weight. I'm good at that. And you just have to do it. And in this day and age of going back and watching something, the digital world has just taken over. You don't have to sit there and watch a first quarter of an NBA Finals when you can just DVR it and you can just take off and go do your thing and then come back. And that's what I ended up doing. I watched the end, the fourth quarter live. It was fine. I watched the USA Women's World Cup last night because I'm into that. My family's into that. And I watched most of the Diamondbacks game. Jeremy Hellickson was really good until Albert Pujols stepped to the plate, and then look out. So a lot to get to today. Eric, where do you want me to start today? I can just go right down the list.
It has to be all the haters on LeBron. I mean, he only won two titles. And granted, this team they played with and his first team in Cleveland, most of those guys couldn't play for the Suns right now. But
he's 2-4. They couldn't play for Arizona State.
Probably not.
I mean, maybe, but likely not. Hurley's got better players in now.
Twitter can be so great and so horrible, and last night it was a combination of both. So
no, there's just people out there that are, well, let's debate what LeBron's signature move is and how he doesn't have a signature move like Kareem Skyhook. Like, really? This is where you're going with this? You're not going to get hired here. That's for certain. That's for damn sure. If that's where you're going to go with this stuff. All right, let's get you caught up with what's on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Looking forward to my Santan Ford experience tomorrow. Head on up to the White Mountains for the ASU annual steak fry. ASU folks, for the fifth straight year, have asked me to MC their event. I don't do much in the way of MCing anymore. I'm so focused on this, but I love to do it. Love to get up to the high country and see the great people there. And General Manager Tim Hovick and Santan Ford, they're a big part of that event as well. They're big sponsors of it. Tim's very community-minded. The Santan Ford people are very community-minded. It's not just, let me sell you a car and that's it. Tim speaks at a lot of places around the Valley, which is terrific. The Ford brand, you can't do better than that. And for me, I'll be driving up in my Ford Fusion tomorrow, be getting great mileage. Have my Sirius XM satellite, have my command center if I need to make calls, listen to lots of stuff along the way. That's what it's all about in this day and age of digital. It's where you get after it and enjoy being out on the open road. That's the Santan Ford experience for me. It's Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. Think about Santan Ford. Shop online at santanford.com. Warriors win their first title since 1975. I think they need to rename the award of most valuable player, because Andre Iguodala was given the Most Valuable Player award last night. First, here is Andre Iguodala. Was he surprised that he won the award?
I'm not surprised because I'm that confident in my game. I'm too hard on myself most of the time. I'm not surprised, but I would have bet on Steph.
So here's the thing on this. The Most Valuable Player should be renamed to the Most Important Player. When you say most valuable player, and it is not LeBron James, given the talent or lack thereof, as Eric pointed out, that was around him last night. J.R. Smith, that's the same J.R. Smith that ordered $3,000 in room service at one time. True story. $3,000 in room service. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. He made some shots in the fourth quarter, but man alive, he and Shumpert's basketball IQ at certain times in this series left a lot to be desired. Iguodala was very valuable. He did the best that he could against LeBron James defensively, and he obviously was a big offensive threat. Couldn't make a free throw to save his life. Had to pull him out of the game late in games in order to get him out of there so that teams wouldn't keep fouling him. That happened on more than one occasion. I'm not sitting here bagging on Andre Iguodala. It's just a fact. Let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story. He had a nice series. He's the MVP. I don't know. I guess you can make a case for it. If you're not going to give it to Steph Curry, when Steph Curry comes alive and does things, he made a left-handed pass the other night, last night in the third quarter to Draymond Green for a dunk that you just don't see anybody make. Like, that's even Magic Johnson-esque. Magic's left hand wasn't as good as that left hand. You don't have him on the floor, you don't even come close to winning. Andre Iguodala is not on the floor, probably still find a way to win. Here is LeBron James on losing in the finals again.
I've been on the short end of this four times and been able to win it twice. It's really no great feeling when you lose. One thing you can do is just try to pick yourself back up whenever that time may be and then just go at it again.
And so people are hammering on him because he went on to say that, you know, the roster that he had and the lack of injuries and all that nonsense. In their view, it's all fact. It's all fact. If you put Steve Kerr on Golden State's off of Golden State's bench and over on Cleveland's bench, if you reverse the roles between David Blatt and Steve Kerr, if you gave Blatt the Warriors roster and gave Kerr the Warriors the Cavaliers roster, could Steve Kerr have coached differently than David Blatt? I would say absolutely, unequivocally, yes. The Cavaliers look like a team that was just wiped out, emotionally spent. Great year put together by the front office. But when you look at the friends of LeBron, the friends that he brought in to play that came off the bench or that had to play after the injuries to Love and Varejão and Irving, boy, it leaves a lot to be desired. A lot to be left to be desired. And Draymond Green, you can make an argument, was as valuable at certain points in that series as Iguodala was. Didn't have the offensive numbers. Boy, you put Draymond Green out there. He's a second-round pick from Michigan State, a restricted free agent. He is going to make bank. He is going to make bank. And if you're Cleveland, so James can opt out. Kevin Love can get out. Tristan Thompson, Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Dellavedova could all be free agents by July 1st. All of them. So there's a lot there I want to get into.
And the shine really went off the penny for Dellavedova as the season. I mean, as the series wore on.
Well,
I mean, he was like the all everything in the first half of the series, and the last few games he was
done.
He was pretty much ineffective.
I think he put everything that he had out on the floor. If you look at the coaching moves, Steve Kerr had guys last night producing that didn't produce early in the series at all. He went up and down his bench and found guys to make moves. And so you have to give him just a ton of credit. The Diamondbacks last night, so Hellickson started, and I get nervous whenever he pitches because everybody in front of him has been so good here over the last week. And he was really good for 5 1/3 innings or thereabouts, and then Albert Pujols stepped up.
And that is sky to left center field. Albert admiring this one. To the wall. Gone! Big fly for Albert Pujols. 2-1 Angels.
That is Victor Rojas, one point in time, a Diamondback analyst on the radio side, and went on to Texas, now with the Angels. And so the Diamondbacks lose, and the same two teams get together tonight. I'm actually going tonight. I'm going to go to a game tonight and watch Chase Anderson do his thing. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh a little bit later on today. The whole subject of satellite camps has come up on the college football front. Tomorrow, by the way, Phil Steele is going to be with us for, I think, what do we have, 20 minutes, Eric? I think we've got a good chunk with Phil Steele tomorrow. There's not a better preseason magazine, college football porn, so to speak, than Phil Steele's magazine. It's just great stuff inside and out. And we've got 20 minutes with him tomorrow, as we do a lot on the college football scene. This Harbaugh story is just out of control. Some of the things that he said, He's got his 200 quarterbacks coming into Michigan this week. He actually emceed an event where he had asked Pat Fitzgerald to be the guest speaker, and Pat Fitzgerald accepted. And I'll get into that story as to why Harbaugh actually sent out invitations to coaches from around the country. And Pat Fitzgerald said, I get what you're doing. Let's do this. And the USA women were just okay yesterday. They played around with Nigeria, and Wambach finally scored a goal and didn't blame it on the turf. And they ended up beating Nigeria 1-0, so they move on into the knockout round. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports. Pedro Gomez is on the other side. When you're the St. Louis Cardinals, do you really need to do the hacking thing? Seriously? And what type of competitive advantage? When you're looking at making a trade with the Astros, and you look at the players that the Astros like on the Cardinals and scouting reports and all that stuff is sitting there for you to look at, and you're the Cardinals, well, yeah, you got to come down hard. And the new commissioner, what's he going to do? What's Rob Manfred going to do on this one? Pedro's next.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmat.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez. Where are you today?
Ahwatukee.
No studio work, huh?
That's coming up. The whole first week of July I'll be in studio. And then I've got Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, and who knows what between now and then.
Do you think Goldschmidt should be in the Home Run Derby?
I don't know that he's a prototypical home run guy, although every year you have guys that are in it that are not prototypical home run guys. I think it'd be interesting because a lot of the country, and it really has a lot to do with Goldschmidt's personality, they don't really know who he is. They don't know how good he is because he is not a highlight kind of guy. He's just, you know, put his head down, go to work, and at the end of the year, you're like, wow, look at these numbers. But he's not a look-at-me type of guy. He's not a guy that makes a lot of highlight reels. And that might be one way for the rest of the country to kind of open their eyes and say, wow, this is what all the fuss is about.
I read a piece where Goldschmidt can go into a space that Ruth and Gehrig didn't get into by stealing more than 20 bases. Ruth's best was 17. Gehrig only stole 3. With the home runs, the RBIs, the runs, that he's on a pace that nobody has ever approached. And it's easy to focus on all the big stuff. The other night when he stole his 10th base, I was like, you got to be kidding me. That guy's stolen 10 bases already? Jeez.
And, you know, the thing is, he doesn't steal bases because of speed. He steals bases because of his mind, because of his brain, the way he studies and says, you know what, I have an opening here. And I think a lot of people also look and say, oh, he's a big slugging first baseman. He's not really going to steal. I think that's going to start changing because when you have your the pitcher's meetings before a series, I think that's going to be emphasized from here on out. Hey, watch Goldschmidt. Don't fall asleep with him at first base. He's a guy that will take advantage. But I think more than anything, he does it just with his mind more than his speed.
Yeah, and Dave McKay's over there doing a good job as well, giving him a read.
Great job. I've known McKay for 25 years. He is an excellent coach.
Would Goldschmidt's swing get screwed up? Is that a reason why he would not do this, do you think?
You know, you always hear about how guys' swings get messed up. They take batting practice every single day of the season. Mm-hmm. For a good half of the BP session, they're trying to hit the ball as far as they can. So I'm not a big believer that it does mess up swings. I think it's more of a crutch. If somebody goes into a slump, it's like, oh, it was the Home Run Derby. And he is such a disciplined player and disciplined hitter that I cannot for the life of me imagine it causing any damage to Paul Goldschmidt.
All right. One last thing on the All-Star stuff. Do we have to take the voting away from the fans with what's going on in Kansas City? I mean, Omar Infante, come on, 205?
No, we do not need to, nor will they take it away from the fans.
Are you big on this? Are you a fan of what's going on in Kansas City?
You know what? They're voting. Don't like it, then vote the other way.
That's simple, huh? Gosh almighty, all well, these Royals, and you're going to get them out there for what? They're going to have eight of them on the field at one time.
Yeah. It's been in the hands of the fans since the late 60s, and I can't imagine for the life of me it ever being taken out of the hands of the fans. So, you know, when you think about how many years this has been going on, this is really the first time that this conversation has come up to this degree. So I think it mostly works. It mostly works.
It's the digital era. I mean, it's kind of like what's
Well, that also does change things. You're right, because it used to be the little, you know, that computer with the hanging chads that we used to get when we were kids.
Sure. Well, and it's like the St. Louis Cardinal. Are you okay? Do you need to take a drink of water?
Yeah, no, I just swallowed the wrong way. Sorry.
No, it's fine. If you're going to gag on the air, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm much better. Thank you.
Talking with Pedro Gomez. So the St. Louis Cardinals hacking story, is this one of those where you say to yourself, just when I think I've seen it all, or, wow, this makes a lot of sense, or, boy, Rob Manfred's really got a tough decision. What kind of hammer can he bring on this one? Just big view, the Cardinals hacking story. What do you make of it?
I think it's all of the above, and I think it is much bigger than maybe the casual fan or even, obviously, the diehard Cardinal fan thinks, oh, what's the big deal? This is nothing. Much like a Patriot fan thinks, oh, what's the big deal? So they spied on the Rams before the Super Bowl.
This
so
is
they,
worse than that, I think.
I agree. No. I think it absolutely should be viewed as worse because there's so much malice involved in this one. And let's face it, it's a federal. We're talking federal crimes here.
Yeah.
Not just crimes against the game, but federal crimes. And, you know, people can go to jail. This is going to be a lot worse in that respect. And it is I never, ever would have dreamed something like this happening. This one does fall under that category where it's like, you got to be kidding. Somebody actually did this? Because this takes planning and plotting and malice, because you know what you're doing is wrong. And you know you're infringing on somebody else. So this is bad, and I think Rob Manfred's commissionership, much like Adam Silver that first year, when you know he takes over for David Stern, and all of a sudden the Clippers ownership story comes up, and Silver's got to handle it in his rookie year. Well, I think Manfred's got a big one here to handle in his rookie year, and knowing Rob Manfred, I don't think he'll drop the ball. I think that he is going to drop the hammer if, in fact, this goes up the chain with the Cardinals front office.
Okay, so what dropping the hammer, really, what could he do to the team on the field? Could he say no postseason? Could he say we're going to take away draft picks? I mean, really, what kind of hammer can he bring for something that happened in the past? Not that you excuse it, and it's the first time for having it, so he needs to be very stern, in my opinion. He needs to bring the hammer. I just don't know if a fine of $500,000 means anything when it's St. Louis and a beer company can underwrite that and we just all go about our merry way. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's where I think it's going to be interesting, because he does have that clause that every commissioner has where he can act on the best interest of the game.
Sure.
Clause. And it's a very, very open clause. There's no limits on what that means. So I postseason ban seems impossible to think of, and I doubt very much that that would happen, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what he can do? I mean, he's got a lot of latitude with that clause. So I doubt it, but I think that there's a lot of anger. If this, in fact, is all true, there's going to be a lot of anger from a lot of corners. And I think Rob Manfred's going to have to show that he is in charge.
Because part of this is the documents that were viewed, evidently, and again, this is things I'm just reading. Evidently, it was as specific as this is what Houston thinks of players within their organization and other organizations. So if you're the St. Louis Cardinals and you want to make a trade with Houston, and you know that internally they feel that this player is this and this player is that, It's an enormous competitive advantage just in negotiating deals. And it's privacy and it's all sorts of things that may be in those files.
Of course. And then that's where, it is unheard of to think of something like this. It is completely, outside of really any type of thinking within the game. And to think that a club actually did this is so far and beyond anything that's acceptable within trying to gain an upper hand. This goes well beyond any of that. And that's why I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see what Rob Manfred does, because we're talking about uncharted territory, mm-hmm. and we're talking about really trying to set an example where nobody will ever think of doing something like this again. And that's why I think Manfred may bring a big, big hammer down on this.
And we're talking in a comparison state. The New England Patriots are the marquee franchise, or one of them, of the NFL. The St. Louis Cardinals, this is not the Toronto Blue Jays. This is not...
No.
This is one of those franchises that year in and year out wins, and so you start looking a little bit deeper. Before I get you out of here, Pat Murphy surfaces interim manager of the San Diego Padres. He's going to be here this weekend. I had my ups and downs with Murph. They were mostly ups when he got sideways with ASU. I don't think I took a strong enough stance to defend him. I was trying to be open-minded. We're fine now. It's fine. He's been through a lot in his life, as I'm sure you know. Really interesting hire by the Padres. What did you make out of it?
Fascinating hire, and really outside of the box, because MLB clubs do not go to the college ranks. And even though he's been the AAA manager for them the last couple of years, he's still thought of as a college guy. And I actually spent all day yesterday trying to think of it, and I think Bobby Winkles, another ASU guy, was the only guy I could think of that made the jump to the big leagues from the college ranks. And he just was okay with the Angels and with the A's. There was nothing spectacular about when he was the manager of both those clubs. Usually the biggest thing that goes against the college guys going to an MLB clubhouse is the lack of respect the players have for the college guy. And that's basically because there's so little pro experience that they bring. Mm-hmm. And they think of it like, well, what have you ever done? I'm in the big leagues. And even though a guy like Jim Leland never made it to the big leagues, he certainly put in his time as a very marginal minor league player, but he put in his time at the minor league level and then as a major league coach on LaRusse's staff with the White Sox later on before he got that Marlins gig. So there was the Pirates gig, I should say. I'm sorry. Then later the Marlins. So there was respect in the sense that he put in his time. In this case, I think that's going to be the most interesting thing, because the first time one of those players says, "What do you know? You never did anything professionally." That's where it's going to be a really big challenge. Now, knowing Pat Murphy, I don't know that it'll ever get to that point. I think Murph may be one of the rare guys that can handle this, and it's going to be fascinating to watch, no doubt about that.
The Padres, rather, they have a Marlin. You mentioned the Marlins earlier. They have a Marlin-esque feel to me, bringing all these players. And I don't see how Justin Upton resigns there. I don't think they have the money to bring him back. He's having a good season. But they punch Bud Black's ticket. I don't know. Their starting pitching's not very good. Cashner hasn't been very good. Kennedy hasn't been very good. What'd you just make big picture what the Padres did?
They spent a lot over the winter and they expected immediate results. And usually, the manager is the one that pays for that. And I think they're trying to jumpstart. There's about 100 games left in the season.
Right.
They're trying to jumpstart their franchise for this season and see if they can do something, because they do have a lot invested in this particular year, not necessarily down the road. Because, like you said, Justin Upton will be gone at the end of this season, and he certainly is a big, big key to the middle of that lineup.
Kemp
so
hasn't
I
been good this year. Kemp's not been good.
No, and last year you could say he probably wasn't either. James Shields has certainly been very good. Craig Kimbrell has been surprisingly up and down, because he has been nothing but almost automatic for the last 5 years, and this year all of a sudden there's a few cracks in the armor. So, there's a lot invested. Will Myers has been on the DL, I think, more than he's been active. So there's a lot invested in this particular season, and I think that's what ultimately. And then don't forget, the Padres, A.J. Preller is the general manager, and it's first full season. He got the job in August, I believe it was, of last year. So, he didn't get to make the choice of manager. Now he does.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. Take
care. Pedro Gomez. Pedro Gomez with us every week. It's always good to catch up with ESPN's Pedro Gomez Inside Baseball. Jerry Colangelo on the other side. So it's time to talk to Jerry about what does he make out of Coyotes in Glendale and all these, the downtown mall and all these things that are being kicked around and talking stick. Also, I want to talk to him about the NBA Finals last night and much more. That's next with Jerry Colangelo. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. It's amazing. In Vegas, they are already putting up the odds. They're already out for next year for the NBA championship. The Cavaliers at 9-4. They're in front of the Warriors, Oklahoma City, and the Clippers, and that's from Vegas. We're not even 12 hours beyond that. Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic day in and day out. The Arizona Republic came to me about 16 months ago and said, we see what you're doing. We want your content on the digital front every day on AZ Central. Appreciate their partnership as we continue to grow this. Jerry Colangelo joins us now. USA Basketball Chairman, Valley Sports icon. His thoughts on the Warriors and other things. I asked Eric, I said, it's probably time to catch up with Jerry on a number of subjects. So I appreciate you coming on. I know it's summer vacation for you. How are you, Jerry?
Well, there's no such thing as summer vacation. We kind of go 24/7, 12 months a year with all the different projects that I'm involved with, but it's enjoyable. And speaking of enjoyable, I thought the series was great theater. And you looked at two different styles of play, one a slow-down half-court, slug-it-out type of game, but except Cleveland was undermanned in a big way, with Barrichell out for the whole year, Kevin Love, two power players, if you will, and then one of the top guards in the league in Kyrie Irving. So they were not able to really play at any kind of a pace, in my opinion, with the Warriors, who play up-tempo, similar to Mike D'Antoni's teams when we had such a great run in Phoenix. And that's kind of a tip of the hat to Mike, that you could win going small, and that's exactly what the Warriors did.
Have you ever seen a player out there in the middle of a sword fight with a piece of spaghetti like LeBron James was in this series for a finals?
Well, from a talent standpoint, he's a super, super human being talent. He tried to carry it himself almost to a fault, quite often. He forced the issue, but he felt he had no other choice because he just didn't have the supporting cast. And, last night he didn't get any support at all, really, when you think about it. Dellavedova, who had a couple of outstanding games during the playoffs this year, fell flat both offensively and defensively, and Schubert was subpar, and I just felt that the Warriors, Draymond Green, kind of epitomizes what the Warriors are about in
yep.
terms of commitment, in terms of focus. I mean, the Splash Brothers get all the credit, and they should to a large degree, but I will tell you, Green is very underrated. I love that guy. He's something special.
Well, the Andre Iguodala MVP, I kind of wish it was the most important player rather than the most valuable player. From my view, there's no question LeBron was the most valuable player. The most important player in the series was Andre Iguodala. Would you agree?
That's a good point. Andre was terrific. First of all, he's one of the class guys that's ever played in the league. That's just who he is as a person. And so when something happens to a good guy like that and he's rewarded, it's terrific. And the fact that he gave of himself, didn't start all year, first time in his career, came off the bench, and and was the most important guy in the series, as you just put it. And then he wasn't rewarded with the MVP. And, of course, you could build a case for Curry. You could build a case for LeBron, et cetera. But it was really sweet to see Andre enjoy the moment last night.
There's a lot of noise today, I put it, of people trying to put LeBron in place with the number of finals that he has lost, rather than looking at it as, I don't know, if you make it to six finals, just take it for what it's worth. Can you put a tone to that storyline of 2-4 in the finals and what you make of it?
Well, even when, you know, when the great teams, if you will, if you want to say dynasties, Boston, Lakers, Bulls, San Antonio, they had more than one. They had two or three guys. When the Bulls had their great run, it was Jordan and Pippen. And make no mistake about it, without Pippen, I'm not sure you would have had all those championships. So it took a couple of guys, you know, super guys. Certainly the Lakers had that with Magic and Worthy and their centers, and they always had centers. And so, you know, San Antonio the same way. When you look at their roster, it wasn't one player. Mm-hmm. So when LeBron was with Wade in Miami and Bosch, who never lived up to the being one of three supers, you know, he was a peg below. But it took that kind of an effort to win a championship, without a question. And so, you know, when you're in that kind of rare air, if you will, atmosphere, you're going to be judged one way or the other. How many championships you could have won, should have won.
Yep.
And that just goes with the territory. Bottom line is, it is what it is.
And I look at this as 20 years from now, people are going to look at LeBron James' numbers and say, well, he lost a bunch of finals. He may go out and win five more in a row. I don't know. But I think it's very unfair today to look at him in that vein as, well, he failed again. You have to contextually look at the roster he was dealt and the injuries and all that, and people just don't want to give him that time or that place. We're talking with Jerry Colangelo for a couple of minutes. Can you weigh in on the Jordan versus LeBron debate that's been going on from your view and what you see?
Well, I just want to make a statement, first of all that should be discussed today is, you know, Golden State won. They had a fantastic year. They did it with an up-tempo, exciting brand of basketball. And we should tip our hats to the Warrior organization. Really happy for Steve Kerr. Obviously, another tie to us. We drafted him originally from the U of A. Of course, he was the GM of the Suns for a short period of time. And so he did a fantastic job. He really did. Gentry went there to assist him, and he's on his way to New Orleans with a great opportunity with one of the bright young players in the league, in Anthony Davis. So we should just celebrate all of that. And as we look at the future, let's see what happens when people are healthy, if they could stay healthy, and then how people compete.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. In terms of comparisons, I hate comparisons because I've always said this, you can only judge how good someone really was by comparison when their career is over. You need to look at the entire scope of his work when it's over with and then compare it to a guy like Jordan, and you'll come to your own conclusion. And I'm sure 5 out of 10 will say they disagree with you anyway.
Did you see what Alvin said last night after the game was over, right into the camera, about Anthony Davis?
No.
Looked right in the camera and said, Anthony, this is going to be you next year. And evidently that was Alvin's first words to Anthony. He's not talked to him yet. I really like that. And Alvin Gentry, Jerry, in terms of favorite people and who's put more blood, sweat, and tears than a lot of people into the Suns when he was here, Alvin would have to be on that list. He would be, in my view.
You know, he's a class guy. He's an excellent coach. I think the past is the past. Going forward, you know, when you look at the top three players in the NBA who you would like to hitch your star to and have an opportunity to coach, you know, Anthony Davis is right there in the top one, two, or three, wherever you want to put him. And so it's a great opportunity for Gentry, for sure.
Jerry Colangelo with us. Where are things with USA Place? Last time you and I spoke, that was up in the air. Where is that right now?
Well, it's nowhere. When the developer was unable to come to a final deal with Arizona State University, who owns the land, mm-hmm. It fell apart. And as a result, USA Basketball has put everything on the shelf. And we're just going to let things happen as they happen. I was really disappointed in the outcome. Really led to believe that they had the capacity to close the deal. And there's a big difference of opinion as to who did what to whom between the two parties. But we were sitting on the sidelines waiting for this thing to become a reality. It's unfortunate.
Last time you and I spoke, you thought there may be some other areas in the valley. You said for now it's off. Is that still an option, Jerry, looking around the valley for this?
Well, it could be, but unless it comes to us tied with a big red ribbon, we're not going to go chase anything. We just don't need to. You know, up in Colorado Springs, we own our own facilities. We have the U.S. Olympic facilities available that are being upgraded. We have an awful lot up there, and it would take an awful lot to leave. Mm-hmm. And so we're not going to push it. We're just not going to do that. And there's another factor. The people who work for USA Basketball are pretty entrenched up in Colorado Springs with families and kids and school and so on and so forth. And that was a traumatic potential problem for a lot of people. And all things happen for the right reason. And if it's meant to be down the road, it will. And if not, that's what was meant to be.
As a neutral observer, I look at that and I'm disappointed because I think it would have been a real big addition to the Valley. What do you make out of the Coyotes against Glendale right now?
Well, almost inevitable that there would be a clash at some point in time because of the deal that was cut originally, the deal that, led to a building being constructed out where it was with all of, this is not a surprise, you know, in terms of the issues that people have been talking about for a number of years in terms of location, in terms of difficulty getting to events, et cetera. See, it's one thing to go to a football game and tailgate on a Sunday afternoon. People will drive for hours, you know, for nine events a year.
Yep.
Or 10.
Yep.
But when you're talking about 40, 50 games, and there's a real drive or at least the perception that it's way out there, if you will, then that's a real issue. With our infrastructure around the valley today, I'm referring to the loops, the 101, the 202, the 10, everything that we have. It's really not that bad a commute, but the perception is it is, and that's the more important thing.
I'm very concerned about not having a leader, and this is I'm putting this towards you because you had leadership, you had vision. You know, I remember when you brought the team here and. I'm hearing about downtown and the refab. Last time you and I talked about the refab of U.S. Airways and maybe moving to a new arena a little bit south of that, and U.S. Airways turns into a mall or a gallery or something. I've heard about Talking Stick. I hear about Scottsdale. But I don't see anybody here that can connect dots. And that's my concern on this. Do you see it as I see it?
Well, first of all, Brad, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You know, there may very well be some very specific conversation, and I think we just have to let time take care of that to see how it really plays out. I'm aware of the speculation, the rumors, those who are suggesting the mall, the arena becoming a mall and a new facility. Quite honestly, The bigger thing for me is I hope that this thing, if there's a new arena, I would prefer to see it in downtown Phoenix. I'm an urban person. I always believed that we, in terms of our organizations with the Suns, the Diamondbacks, and the commitment to downtown in every regard,
yep,
would help downtown become what it is now becoming. And I would hate to see that interrupted with the loss of a major piece of it, and that would be the arena. So, you know, no one's asking my opinion. I don't have a vote. I don't have a vested interest except my commitment to the city, to downtown, will always remain, and I hope that the arena is in the future of downtown.
I'll ask your opinion. What is your opinion on this, Jerry?
My opinion is that time will determine whether or not it's feasible,
mm-hmm,
to do another deal downtown. And if the only viable option is somewhere else, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time, as always. Thank you, and stay in touch.
All right, Brad.
Stay well. It's Jerry Colangelo for a few minutes. All things going on around the Valley and also around the NBA Finals. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Back with more after this timeout on a Wednesday. Thanks again to Jerry Colangelo for being with us. I'm seeing on Twitter, Todd Graham put out a boom. Must mean there's something going on with ASU. And we'll have that as the show's moves on here on a Wednesday. So, you know, what could you take from that interview with Jerry Colangelo? I think that there was a lot of guarded conversation there. What's going on behind closed doors? Okay, I got that. He's heard about the mall conversation about downtown Phoenix. We've been talking about that for the better part of a week now. He knows what's going on. And, you know, I don't want to get into the whole development side of it because that's what he is now, a land developer. It's not just basketball person. And I thought it was funny right off the top where he said, thanks for joining us from vacation. There is no vacation. You know, it's fine. It's fine. That's why I like having him on. I respect the heck out of him for that. So that was interesting. There's some things in media that that Eric and I saw here in the last couple of days, actually in the last 24 hours. So the whole St. Louis Cardinals mess in Major League Baseball. In our industry, what happens is we have to sit at a table, and there's like a television screen behind us. And you're supposed to put in there St. Louis Cardinals logo. Well, where was this taken, Eric? Show this one.
This was a Chicago TV station.
Of course it was. Yeah,
they put up as you can see the Chicago logo in the back.
Yeah.
And you can also see the Arizona Cardinals.
There's a baseball
logo
story involving the Cardinals.
NBC 5 in Chicago.
This is in Chicago. It's kind of a major market.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Kind
I don't know.
Of a big deal.
Was it one or two or three? Someone
so
three?
It's a story involving the Cardinals. We've got a Cardinal logo right here. The Arizona Cardinals. Way to go. Knock yourselves out.
So somebody did somebody get fired or just yelled at for that?
They probably didn't even know. That's the worst part about
no,
it.
No, social media definitely made them aware.
Well, they were probably like, oops. Oh, oops. Well, it's just a logo.
It happened yesterday on Twitter, too. People were tagging AZ Cardinals, at AZ Cardinals.
Of course they were.
Instead of at STL Cardinals.
Of course they were.
Whoops.
What was the other one that we have here today?
The other one is a Korean newspaper.
All right.
That decided the Chicago Bears clinched Stanley Cup.
Of course they did.
And there you have a picture of all the Chicago Blackhawks, of course.
That is awesome. That doesn't look like football jerseys.
From a couple nights ago.
I don't see any football players there. It says Jay Cutler in that picture.
Lost in translation? Is that the right way to put this? I don't know.
Korean newspaper. Bears win on the ice. It's the only place they've been able to win.
And it's clearly a Korean newspaper that gets translated to English.
Yeah,
obviously.
Sure.
It was in English. It wasn't in Korean. That's why we could actually see the mistake.
How much fun is that? That is great. Love those two. Here in the middle of the day, so Chris Cartman over at Sun Devil Source says Jeremy Smith, athlete from Missouri City, Texas, has committed to Arizona State. So there you go, if you're wanting to know the name of the person. Vegas already putting up the odds for next year as to who is going to win the NBA title. And your Phoenix Suns are 80-1. Cleveland is the first. Cleveland's the favorite. So they have to believe in Vegas that LeBron will opt in. He's not going to go anywhere. And that Kyrie will come back healthy. I still believe Dwayne Wade's going to do the Dwayne Wade's goodbye in Cleveland. That's just me. Is Kevin Love going to leave Cleveland or not? I'd love to see Kevin Love come here. Part of me, and I've had some people throw this out, that the reason Jeff Hornacek didn't go after the Iowa State job further is he believes and has some nods and winks that there's some players that are going to be coming here. I don't know that as fact also, that recruiting was not his forte. He didn't want to get involved in the recruiting stuff. So
we'll have to see what some players mean. It's not easy. It's not hard to get players.
Right.
It's hard to get elite players.
There were some players on the floor for Cleveland last
night.
That's
correct.
There were some players on the floor for them for a lot of this series. A couple guys.
Did you see the last time out where LeBron was on the bench and Mike Miller literally had to pull him off the bench to get him back in the game? He was so exhausted.
He's done. Jim Harbaugh's in the news cycle today. So this Saturday, I love this story. This Saturday, Michigan is going to present A4 in Ann Arbor's aerial assault. A4, Ann Arbor aerial assault. A quarterback-specific camp that promises to pair high school quarterbacks with a roster of high-profile quarterbacks and coaches, the elite quarterback training school that is going to be held at the University of Michigan. The coaching staff for this weekend will include Jay Cutler. He'll teach you how to throw a ball way over people's heads. Kyle Bowler, Jameis Winston, Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback. George Whitfield is going to be there, the private quarterback coach. More than 200 quarterbacks are expected to participate. And depending on your perspective, it's either completely unorthodox, crazily unconventional way to remind the nation's best quarterbacks that Harbaugh was a big-time QB and that he developed them and that he attracted to them, or it's a completely unorthodox, crazily unconventional way to promote better quarterbacking. I look at it as there's 200 dads out there that think that their kid is going to go to the NFL, and they're going to pay tremendous jack. I don't know how much this costs. Do I think it's smart on Harbaugh's part? Sure it is. Sure it is. He'll walk up to all 200 of those kids and say, kind of tap them on the foot while they're stretching, hey, nice ball. Hey, this is pretty impressive yesterday. Hey, good seeing you. Or walk up to the guy who thinks he's all that and just kind of walk on by him. I don't know. No matter what, Harbaugh's got 200 quarterbacks that are going to roll through. The better part of this story is Harbaugh, over the weekend, put together an event where he invited coaches from around the country to show up and be on stage with him to talk about being a college football player. And Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern actually went to Michigan and showed up on stage. Same conference, same everything. Pat Fitzgerald played at Northwestern. I think he's a pretty smart guy. Obviously, he went to Northwestern. He's done a good job. They're not a great job. I think he's somewhat under the gun. There were assistant coaches from around the country that showed up at this event. That's pretty smart. If I'm going to get fired, I would want Jim Harbaugh to know that I exist.
And I think it's a good move by Fitzgerald because it's also a free billboard for Northwestern.
Sure it is.
I'm assuming he's going to be introduced as Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, no, he's already this past weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Then there's this story today in college football. Today was supposed to be a huge day in college football. We're going to talk about this on the show at great lengths in a positive way. Today, it was going to be decided that the early signing period for college football would be instituted. So they were going to start having letter of intent day in college football. One of the biggest days of the year for our little company, our little slice of heaven, our little slice of life, we are Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmarts that are out there in media. One of the biggest days for us every year is letter of intent day. Actually, that week is one week where we see a lot of people roll through that have not come through and that come back and that are searching for us. And so letter of intent day, yeah, it's fine. Through the years, we've seen National Letter of Intent Day, the first Wednesday of February, kind of go into a space where people will put on events and go get sponsors and banners, and it's all about the top 10 kids, and it's not really what I think it should be all about. I think on Letter of Intent Day, it's a celebration of the kids, nothing more, nothing less. We used to do an event for years and years at Marley's where I invited kids from around the country to show up. Nothing more, nothing less. They put out some food. Media showed up. They interviewed the kids. They moved on. There's no patting on the back. It was just something we did. And we may go back to that. I think it's just changed in the last like 3-4 years where it's become a little greasy, in my opinion. The new signing date was going to be December 16th. Conference commissioners decided today to table that until next June. I don't know why. Is it because there's too much television money tied up that ESPN does on ESPNU on Letter of Intent Day and Fox does on Letter of Intent Day, all these big Letter of Intent shows, and they have long-term contracts? I don't know if that's the case. There are conference commissioners that say that this is something they don't want to see happen. When you see these kids in the last minute deciding what they're going to do, and the kid that commits to 4 different schools, and that's happened, the kid that says, I've been recruited by Miami of Florida, and he never has been, and he never will be, because he's looking for self-worth. The kid that plays a team on Letter of Intent Day and then turns right back around and decommits, doesn't show up or doesn't have the grades, all that stuff happens in February. And there really is very, in my opinion, very little reason, very little room to keep the recruiting cycle going beyond the mid part of December. You finish your high school season, you get it signed, you move on. In fact, you get it signed, you get it done on December 16th, you can leave high school early, and there's kids that do that. Take your test, leave, move on. You don't have to wait for the paperwork the first week of February or to get there on campus and say, well, this might not be the place for me. So that story happened today. And recruiting is obviously a big deal in our country. It's a huge deal. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Along with the finals now being done, the other story of the day that's going to continue to pick up steam, I think, around the finals is the future of Draymond Green with the Warriors, because he had a terrific series. You can talk all you want about Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala, but Draymond Green was somebody that did yeoman's work inside, did a terrific job for them. The guys that bought the Warriors, if you remember, the Warriors were bought a few years back by guys that they put down $450 million 5 years ago. The team is now worth $1 billion. Nicely done. You have to feel good for all those guys. We've gone through the Rick Welts and the Steve Kerrs and Alvin Gentrys and all that stuff. Diamondbacks lose last night. They're home tonight with Chase Anderson on the mound against the Angels, and the USA World Cup team beating Nigeria 1-0. Pedro Gomez is next. We're going to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals disaster, if Paul Goldschmidt should be in the home run hitting contest, and much more. Jerry Colangelo, too, in this hour. I'm Brad Sussmatt.